Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. You know, just a brief Google search under the using the words armed intruder will bring up a number of different stories from all across the country. I just typed that in under Google News here, and here's one CBS Local, and this one says camera caught this armed intruder breaking into a Dallas man's home. Second one on the list says an armed intruder entered Miami stores. The armed intruder there. Another one talks about an incident that took place in North Dakota. Another one here, police identify an armed intruder who was shot by a homeowner. And on and on and on it goes. You know, there's been some of these that some make the news more than others. One of the more recent ones that was in the news was the one that took place there at OSU. Ironically, on that particular one, I was reading an article about that one recently in the Washington Times, and this came out on the 9th, so just less than a week ago, and it said OSU group says terrorist wrongly killed and claimed justice can't come from a cop's bullet. So it goes on in the article to say this: activists at Ohio State University held a protest this week that framed the killing of Abdul Razak Ali Atan during the terror attack as unjustified. 11 students were injured November 28th when Mr. Atan turned his car into a weapon. The Somali immigrant and logistics manager student was shot by an Ohio State University Police Department officer before he could execute victims with a butcher knife. You know, he pulled a fire alarm and was able to get the people then to go outside by pulling the fire alarm. And then after they went outside, he used his car then to run people over. And then after he had ran them over, he jumped out of his car with a butcher knife and then was, attacking people with the butcher knife. The police officer pulled his gun and shot him and stopped the carnage from taking place. How anyone could see this as being not justice taking place or an act of injustice is beyond me. But I don't necessarily want to get into that part of that story, but I want to talk about the idea about being prepared for these types of incidents that are taking place and events that are happening more and more in a number of different environments. I read in one of my news feeds and my social media page about instructor-led training, the certification training that was coming right here to the upstate of South Carolina. It is actually sponsored by the Pickens Police Department. It's called ALICE Instructor Certification Training Class. It's a two-day class, and it's, like I said, it's hosted by the Pickens Police Department, and it says this on their website. It says, the purpose of this advanced ALICE training is to educate local and school-based law enforcement, as well as church, hospital, and workplace administrators and safety professionals about our research-based proactive response approach to violent intruder events. The ALICE training program is designed to supplement current lockdown or secure-in-place procedures used frequently in our public schools and institutions. Tragic, horrific, or historic events have dictated the need of enhanced response options to increase chances of surviving a horrific event. So there's the idea of this class. Looks like it's going to be very good. It's got a lot of program topics here that I want to talk about in just a minute, but I want to introduce our guest here today who has joined us to talk about these issues. I'm talking about Lieutenant Joseph Hendry. He is, let me read a little bit about Lieutenant Hendry's bio here. It says this: he's retiring after a distinguishing 27-year career with the Kent State Police Department. Lieutenant Hendry has been named by the Ohio Department of Homeland Security and the Ohio Attorney General's Office as an expert in civilian and law enforcement response to active threats. He holds a bachelor's degree in telecommunication from Kent State University. He's a graduate of the Police Executive Leadership College and a certified law enforcement executive program. He is a trained crisis intervention team officer in dealing with mental health issues. He served 6 years in the United States Marine Corps. He also is an intelligent liaison officer with the Ohio Homeland Security. He's been interviewed by Campus Safety Magazine, Emergency Management Magazine, MD News, the National Public Radio, and is an active threat response expert. He is he's been published in several places in his career, most recently in the Campus Safety Magazine, Best Review, and Police One, and In Command. So an impressive resume there. Lieutenant Hendry, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Lieutenant, I thought that maybe we would start off by mentioning a couple of things. One, that you're going to be the actual instructor that's going to be here in Pickens for this two-day training class, right?
Yes, I am. It just kind of worked out that I was available to do the interview with you today, and I'm also actually the instructor that's going to be coming down.
Excellent. Well, I want you to tell us a little bit about ALICE in just a minute here, the instructor certification training. But before we do that, let me just give you an opportunity to respond to a little bit of the news item that I read. And the question that I have there is, it certainly seems, just by a general observation, that these types of incidences, maybe not as dramatic as that one there at OSU, but these types of instances are taking place on a more prevalent basis. Is that a proper interpretation of what I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's exactly what's been happening in the United States. The genesis of these events kind of goes back to like 1966. That's when it kind of considered the incidents involving like active shooters, I guess the colloquial term that was used. I like to use active threat just because it kind of covers all the weapons that these individuals use. Obviously, the individual at Ohio State used knives in a car at that time. but there's been an FBI study that was released in the fall of 2014 that showed that over the, they studied a 14-year period from 2000 to 2013. In the last 7 years of that study showed a marked increase in these events over the first 7 years of the study that was very statistically significant. And I think the data probably when it's included from over the last 2 years, obviously we had the incident in Orlando, which is the worst shooting, number of people killed in American history and number of people shot.
Wow.
That those type of incidents are continually on the rise. And we're not only talking about now about incidents involving, you know, active shooter type things, but also incidents of terrorism now.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, of course, some of these incidences have been related to Islamic radicals and so forth and what they're doing. But beside that being the issue, what do you account for the increase in these things? I noticed in your the biographical information that mental illness was highlighted. Is that one of the leading causes for why we're seeing the increase in these things?
Probably the mental health piece, as far as this goes, is really not the majority of people that commit this crime.
Mm-hmm.
About 30% of the people that commit this crime are considered to have serious to severe mental health issues. So that's really not even close to being the majority of individuals. A lot of the people that commit this crime, interestingly, we talk about a lot about education and schools having this incidence, but the actual most likely place for it to occur is the workplace. About 42% of all incidents occur in the workplace, as about 24% happen in education. It's a lot of people that have axes to grind.
Mm-hmm.
they don't feel that, you know, life has treated them fairly, or they're having problems at work, problems at school. Those are usually the people that are committing this crime.
Mm. It seems that many people then have this mentality that you're helpless in these situations, that, well, you know, somebody come back into your place of work and has an axe to grind, like you say. They have some sort of vendetta that they're trying to carry out against somebody that's wronged them and so forth. But is that really true? Are people helpless, or are there tangible things that can be done to kind of mitigate that risk of this taking place?
Yeah, absolutely, there's things that can be done to mitigate it. You know, one of the things, obviously, you know, we'd love to catch every single one of these before they occur, but that's just an impossibility. That's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we stop doing, you know, trying to interdict people before they commit the crime. But once these occur, we've actually trained a tactic, and you may or may not be familiar with it, called lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Lockdown was originally meant, interestingly, for drive-by shootings in Southern California back in the 1980s. As we started experiencing more shootings inside buildings and education for a number of reasons, probably one of them being it was very easy to implement and easy to do, started implementing lockdown training inside facilities and buildings that were never intended for its use. They weren't manufactured that way, and it disregarded, obviously, a drive-by shootings happening outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an active shooter or a person using a knife or whatever weapons happening in direct contact most of the time with their victims.
Hmm.
So the lockdown tactics, even though they were primarily taught for about 25 years, were inappropriate for the use. There's documentation going back that I can find back in 1993 of a school district actually using earthquake response training and hiding underneath desks for active shooter.
Oh, wow.
So obviously very inappropriate tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were adopting things and not adapting them to the actual event.
Right. You know,
so there obviously are a number of things we can do to mitigate those casualties. We just really haven't been doing them or training them.
Mm-hmm. When I read the introduction there on the website to the upcoming training here in Pickens, it noted there that church, you know, of course, which is near and dear to my heart,
right.
Hospital and workplace administrators and safety professionals and so forth, research-based training program that they can be involved in. But those are some pretty vast areas in our society now. Is there an ethical responsibility that they have now to make these locations you know, safe as reasonably, you know, they can do some reasonable things to make these
right.
locations safe for the people that will be coming into them.
Right, and I think that's a big thing that we haven't focused on for this event, but we do it for other events. I mean, obviously, fire is one of the, you know, major crisis events that we train people for, and we give them tactics that are portable. Usually as children we train them. And we give them tactics as children that are portable to all the locations that they go through in life, whether it's school or house of worship, or if they're at a store, or the grocery store, or a mall, or a business.
Mm-hmm.
All those tactics apply. I mean, some things change differently, evacuation routes and things like that. We have not done that to this event, and it really throws everyone off. You know, we're training, you know, some of the tactics in Alice training, they're all basically meant to be very low skill, you know, the KISS principle, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And because most people don't have skill levels, you know, I heard someone talking about, you know, fighting gunmen and attacking gunmen. Those are concepts that the general population does not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And probably will never, ever be able to do. Those are skill sets. There are legal requirements involved with those words and things like that. And we, you know, we call a counter for direct contact, last resort. People need to do something to save themselves. And all of it involves low skill type things, gross motor skills rather than fine motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
All of those tactics have portability to them. So when we say that, you know, the people that we're looking for, the professional people to attend the class and become instructors for their organizations, it is to base them in scientific skill sets, things like gravity, how numbers overcome an individual, swarming techniques, movement, noise, distraction, you know, evacuation, which we already practiced for several other events, barricading skills, things like that, that people can do on a gross motor skill level regardless of the location that they're in. So that's why that class is marketed to that set of professionals.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks great as I look through some of the program topics that are listed here. Maybe you could just whet our appetite by telling the listening audience the types of things that they will learn here. Let me read them off, and then you could pick a few of them and just give us a little bit of a synopsis of the types of things they'll learn there. But you have case studies and policy and procedure review, infrastructure design, proactive use of technology, and so forth. Just give us a little bit of an idea. How in-depth will we go there to look at those types of things in this class?
Well, in the use of technology, one of the things we're going to talk about is how do you alert people inside your facilities that something, an event, is actually happening. I mean, we have, you know, some facilities, while some are small, and some of people would know immediately what's going on. You talk about facilities like hospitals or a university or even large houses of worship, where something could be happening on one end of the facility and people on the other side of the facility would have no idea something's even occurring. We talk about how to utilize communication methods, whether that's texting alerts or PA systems, what to say, how to say it, how to get everyone to begin responding to the alert piece, the A in Alice. And, you know, what type of technology do they have? What, you know, maybe that's something, you know, we don't sell, obviously, alerting and security systems, but, you know, that's something they need to look at to upgrade their facility to make that alert widespread and knowledgeable to everybody. We talk about using plain language in those alerts. So, you know, for an example, a hospital a lot of times will say things like code silver, code silver. Well, obviously, someone like you or I that does not work in a hospital setting that may be in the hospital have no idea what that means, and that really means they have a violent intruder in the hospital. So what you want is the entire facility responding appropriately, not just a handful of people who understand what code silver means. So we talk about that kind of thing, the plain language. We give the people where to find the documents that refer to that from FEMA. That policy is about 11 years old from FEMA now. And I know you went, you've gone on the website. There's a document section that has tons of documents in there where recommendations have been made that several people aren't aware of. So we go over those documents with people in the class, so that they're aware of them. Some states have very specific documents that are meant just for them, whether that be in the healthcare or education fields or university type incidents, and the documents that came out from their state specifically. So,
is this type of training now? It seems like it should be required for certain certain professions as well. Are you finding that more and more that maybe not actually required, but a lot of people in these settings now have this training, so it would be something good for somebody to have on the resume?
Yeah, it is actually. In fact, interestingly, today the reason I wasn't able to talk to you a little bit earlier today was I'm actually at Kent State today. Even though I retired about 2.5 months ago now, I was asked to come back today and do a presentation for our executive staff at the university, and they try to do updates with them yearly just to update them on the new materials and to go over the training with them again, and that's what I'm actually at today. And, you know, one of the things that the university has done is required it as an organization for all of our incoming freshmen. Several of the colleges require it as part of their curriculum, so, like, students sometimes are trained twice or three times within their college career before they graduate how to take this back into their work space as their job, whether it's in teachers or, you know, in education or business professionals, and actually be able to use it in those settings. So it's being required by some organizations. I know that the university actually trained some graduate students last year because it was seen as a great help to those students to get hired in the education field if they were already ALICE instructors and going out to facilities in education. So there is some of that going on. There's a lot of things in the field that unfortunately are not standardized. This program actually is the industry standard. We've standardized training. We do things with e-learning to provide a basis for organizations. And we give them, through the e-learning, give them sample policies and procedures and how to implement identification of stakeholders. All those items are included in the e-learning piece. So we know the organization has a baseline for all of its people to learn. We know there's been policy change. And then the instructors that would go to this class in Pickens would actually be the folks that come back as the subject matter experts in the field for training to actually train their people in the locations that they may have to utilize the tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, you know, the actual best way to do this.
Mm.
So, all those things and together actually are training.
Lieutenant, we just have another couple minutes or so in the broadcast, and I want to make sure I leave enough time to give people the information about where to sign up and so forth. But just one quick question that maybe you can just here in South Carolina, it may be an issue in other places in the South especially too, but sometimes you find a number of people are carrying, you know, they have a concealed weapon permit and so forth. Do you address that in the training about, you know, when you have a number of people that are carrying like that, setting up policies and so forth as to who actually engages an intruder and so forth? Is that part of the class?
That's really not part of the class. To kind of answer your question, there's been one incident in American history in 1983 in Miami, Florida, where an armed civilian actually stopped someone who was considered an active shooter. Most of the guys involved in this training nationally are law enforcement officers that are national inspectors. And, personally, I have no problem with CCW or anything like that, but there's not a whole lot of data on the fact that civilians have stopped any of these people using firearms. The incidents happen so close to people that they're literally, the gunmen and people using the knives are literally, obviously, a knife. You literally have to be on top of the person in order to utilize that as a weapon.
Hmm.
We go over some of the incidents where there were a lot of firearms, assassination attempts in history, things like that, where the firearms were not used and where law enforcement and Secret Service actually used swarming techniques and how civilians have been using swarming techniques. Interestingly, there was a big study came out of NYPD, New York Police Department, in 2012, just on firearm use for active shooters. And what was discovered in that study is about 16% of active shooters are actually stopped by law enforcement. About 13% are stopped by civilians. And only one incident of the civilian stops out of 300 and some incidents was the use of a firearm. Almost all the techniques were the use of swarming by large numbers of civilians, which we have in a lot of these incidents. You would think it would be impossible for one individual in a building to shoot 100 people, but until you understand that most people are trained in lockdown and actually sit on the floor, don't move, and be quiet, is a cycle we're trying to break.
Hmm. Well, Lieutenant, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this. I want to make sure that I give all the information about the upcoming class that's going to be taking place here in the upstate of South Carolina, right here in Pickens, South Carolina. But I wanted to thank you first and foremost for taking the time out to talk with us a little bit about the class in general, and then a little bit more specifically about what people will be learning there. Certainly looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great event, and I hope that many of the people in those different areas that I mentioned earlier on in different professions will take advantage of this type of training at this level coming here to the Pickens area.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was Lieutenant Joseph Hendry. I had read his extensive biographical information at the beginning of the broadcast, but he is going to be the instructor at the ALICE Instructor Certification Training that is taking place here in Pickens. It's hosted by the Pickens Police Department. It's going to take place at Pickens Middle School, which is at 140 Torch Lane Road in Pickens, South Carolina. The dates are December, that's Wednesday, December 28th, and Thursday, December 29th. So it's coming up right after Christmas. If you can get a couple days where you'll be able to attend this training, it goes from 8 a.m. in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I read some of the program topics that were there, but it was case studies and infrastructure design, mass evacuations, trauma first aid, and on and on and on. You're going to learn a tremendous amount of information here. In order to find out more, go out to their website. Their website, the ALICE Training Program website, you can find it at search for it, ALICE Certified Instruction or Certified Training Program. I actually have the Pickens event up here. Let me give you the ALICE training site really quickly. Their website is AliceTraining.com. There it is, AliceTraining.com. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.